Okay, yes, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Rugby Muscle Podcast, your Uber Black driver in the journey to get into the shape of your life. And if you want to lose fat and gain muscle this off-season, this episode is going to be for you. I'm host, as always, TJ, in a rare appearance with my hair down. Clearly, I'm feeling myself a little bit today, and I will be discussing the main blocks that you must consider when trying to lose fat and gain muscle as a rugby player, as well as some of the intricacies along the way, so that by the end of this episode, you'll have a clear line of sight as to what really needs to be done for you this off-season. And if you find this useful at any stage, including now, feel free to rate the podcast 5 stars, thumbs up on the YouTube, and let me know any questions or feedback as it comes to you in the comments below or by clicking the 3 dots on Spotify. I'll be breaking these blocks down into certain categories, subcategories, and whatnot so that you can navigate them using the timestamps. You'll find those also in the description. And yeah, let's get into it. First of all, let's talk about the overall mindset of this process of gaining muscle, losing fat. You cannot gain muscle continually with a short-term mindset. You have to be thinking about this stuff long-term. And whilst you can lose fat quite quickly, it's also basically a given that you'll put it on back even quicker if you don't do it in the right way or if you don't learn anything along the way. So that being said, the off-season is a fantastic opportunity to initiate, accelerate, and really solidify this process. But if you do really want to get into great shape and have a meaningful impact on your performance, on your physique, this should be a year-round thing. Yes, you have a better chance of doing this in the off-season simply because you're not compelled to feel fresh for and then recover from those big, intense efforts on game days and training. But it should still be a way to sort of get this in for the long term. So with that in mind, let's get in and discuss, first and foremost, nutrition. Nutrition needs to be tailored around you because there is no one-size-fits-all approach to nutrition. There are definitely principles that you need to adhere to. So with that in mind, let's discuss first nutrition. Nutrition needs to be tailored around you since there is no one-size-fits-all approach to it. But there are some principles that you need to adhere to on this that are quite universal. Note that nutrition can't be considered independent from your training since that's what you're fueling for and recovering from, but I'll get into training after. Just know that you can't separate what's more important, training or nutrition. You have to factor them both in and they interplay together. So if you want to do this as efficiently as possible, you want to track your intake. It's probably the best idea for you. You don't necessarily have to do it forever, particularly if you eat quite consistently, you eat similar meals, if not the same meals, day in, day out. You don't need to track forever because then you're going to get a good idea, but tracking your nutrition is going to allow you the freedom and flexibility to include diverse choices of foods throughout your diet or throughout life, I guess, throughout your training week. And it gives you an idea of numbers. And those are important to establish a sort of base for where to go off and where to adjust and where to really focus your nutrition strategies on. And if you don't have an idea of what your intake currently is, like with numbers, you're essentially pissing in the dark. And whatever approach you're going to do, you don't know what's going to be working, what's not going to be working. You might have some success, but it's not going to be a strategy that you can long-term follow. So you really do need to know what your numbers are, and the best way to do that, or the only way to do that, is by tracking. With that being said, you need to make sure you're getting enough protein in. Protein is the building blocks for all body tissue, so to train, recover, gain muscle, you need it. 2 grams per kilo of lean mass is going to be enough, especially in the off season where there are no contact situations that might further break your muscle down. You'll be fine with 2 grams per kilo of lean body mass. All right, now it's time to look at calories. If you want to gain weight, you need to eat more than you're burning. If you want to lose weight, you need to eat less. If you want to maintain by gaining muscle and losing fat at the exact same rates, you have to eat at maintenance calories. And I'll get more into this in a bit. To work out your calorie intake, there are many different calculators out there. I have one as part of my app that can give you a ballpark figure, but a better way is just to track your nutrition, track your weight, look at average trends, and then adjust. Looking at average trends, not every day, is really important, because some days you're going to be like 1 to 2 kilos heavier. Other days you're going to be lighter. And if you only look at day-to-day changes, you're going to react based off of those individual days. You're going to react based off of emotion, and you're going to make bad decisions. You're going to find it really difficult to stay consistent. And the reality is that it could take weeks for you to get this moving, but it is going to work. It can be done faster with the help of an experienced coach who you're in regular communication with, since they'll have the experience that you simply do not. The rate of gain and weight loss is going to depend on your training history, current body composition, and situation. Generally, 1 to 2 kilos a month is a good goal for weight loss. You could absolutely go faster if you are bigger, if you're in higher body fat, or if you're in more experienced and you want to shed that fat nice and fast. Avoid going too fast if you are not experienced. A slow and steady approach is always going to be better, so that you can implement the habits, so you can learn the strategies, other way around, so that you can implement the strategies and learn the habits along the way. Much better way to go about fat loss if you're not experienced, if you've never really achieved and sustained a quality physique. Rates of weight gain are probably around 1 kilo a month. Not a bad figure to look for when looking to gain muscle. Most of that is then hopefully going to be somewhat lean. Not necessarily though, because if you were to do that for a year, you're not realistically going to gain 12 kilos for a year. Or if you look at that for 3 years, you're not necessarily going to gain 36 kilos in 3 years. You could still go faster than this for short periods of time if you're brand new, or if you've lost muscle that you want to regain. But 1 kilo a month is a decent figure, so that you're not gaining too much fat. Acknowledge that you're going to gain fat along this process if you are looking to do a quote-unquote bulk. That's just a given, and that you know that you're going to take some of that fat off afterwards. Now here's where I want to sort of remove the bodybuilder thinking. I think most people watching this can gain muscle whilst losing fat, doing so at the same time. And in fact, if you're training hard and maintaining your weight, you're probably doing just that, and you're doing it really slowly. Bodybuilders tend to overthink this because this is the only output that they're looking to. But rugby players I see doing this over years and years and years without necessarily, because they've got so much else going on, they're not necessarily only looking at muscle gain and fat loss. They're looking at performance outcomes, and just that comes along the way from that consistent training. If you really do want to recomp seriously, and you probably haven't been paying attention for a while as far as your physique goes, I still think the best option is for you to lose weight, because you're going to lose fat at a faster rate than you'll gain muscle. So you'll still lose weight. You will lose weight maybe at a slower rate than the one I recommended. And as long as you're training well, you're eating enough protein, this can absolutely be done. As far as carbs versus fat goes for your calories, I do think that carbs are going to give you a better performance outcome. They simply fuel performance as far as rugby goes, as far as a lot of hard efforts go. For fats, we're looking more for like health concerns than we are for performance concerns. You don't necessarily ever need to eat carbohydrates, but you do need to get in some level of healthy fats. I'm looking at your omega-3s and such that are going to give you your health benefits, your hormone optimizations, that sort of thing. And you're looking at around 1 gram of fat per kg of lean mass as the absolute minimum. You're probably going to go a little bit higher just for convenience purposes, and you probably should go a little bit higher just for those health concerns or those health metrics. Although in the short term, probably doesn't matter too much. More fats isn't necessarily terrible. It's just potentially going to impact your ability to get in as much carbs as you can, which are going to, fuel your performance, fuel your ability to gain muscle, etc., within your allotted calories. It's not necessarily a bad thing, and essentially fats are going to be more convenient just because foods that are available are going to contain more fats anyway. You can play around with these, but the idea is to try as best you can to get your carbs as high as possible to give you that fuel within your allotted calories without going too low with your fats. And the off season is a great time to experiment with this stuff. Also experiment with things like meal timing, portion control techniques that can be sustainable, and see how they react with your performance so you can potentially implement them in the competitive season. Okay, now we're going to move on to training. So for losing fat, anything is enough. Training is just a tool to burn more calories and therefore afford you more calories to play with in your fat loss pursuit. It's worth noting that weight training is a fantastic option for this since it will help ensure that your weight that you do lose is going to be fat and not muscle, since you're placing a demand on your body to keep said muscle with the weight training that you're doing. Of course, as a rugby player, you should be focusing more on a structured plan anyway, since you want to focus on those five physical performance pillars as a rugby athlete. Those are aerobic capacity, strength and hypertrophy, power, speed, and then movement / athleticism. I've done podcasts in the previous months about exactly how to train for those different things. And again, just like diet and training interrelate, all of those five things also interrelate. So you need to figure out that balance, what that is for you. This does not change in the off season. Far too many rugby players have the idea that the off season is to be spent training like a bodybuilder. And then once they get to preseason, they're going to start being an athlete again. I've been there myself, gaining like 6 to 8 kilos of weight, not necessarily muscle, in an off season, and then turning up to preseason, just being completely gassed out with the fitness work that we had to do. That was a mistake. That put me behind rather than ahead of the ball when it comes to playing my best. I've also seen a teammate basically rule himself out for the season because he ballooned up. And I'm not just talking about, again, muscle. I'm talking about muscle and fat. He did gain a lot of muscle, but he also gained a lot of fat. And then on day one of preseason, he had massive calf issues that he basically never recovered from. I don't think he ever played at the same level that he did back then ever again because of that. So yeah, really be careful with this and be aware that bodybuilding is not the best way to prepare as a rugby athlete. And especially when you think about this whole thing, right? Factor in how long the off season is going to be and the rate of realistic muscle gain. And you're going to see why, right? A 3-month off season, if all goes really well and like perfect, can result in what? Like 3 to 4 kilos of muscle gain. You don't need to train like a bodybuilder to achieve that. You don't need to have tons of sets of isolation per muscle group to achieve that. And in training like that, you're actually going to impact and take time away from those other areas. Not just the risks that I spoke about from those two examples, but the other five area or the other four areas or the other four pillars of rugby performance. You're spending so much time and dedication in training for just hypertrophy, you just don't have the time to dedicate to being fitter, being faster, being more explosive, moving better, etc. You risk becoming unfit, slow, injury prone, and moving around like a double-decker bus. So realistically, you can achieve all of this muscle gain with like 10 sets per muscle group per week. Potentially yes, potentially a little bit more. Exact set numbers aren't particularly useful since it depends on the movements that you're using and the stimulus that you get from each of those sets and what you're doing as an athlete in general. So if you do take that at face value, that's 5 sets twice a week or 3 sets 3 times a week. And this isn't like just to maintain, this is to maximize the hypertrophy that you can get within a given week. And with volume that low, you can still work the other areas really efficiently as well. That may also help you achieve more muscle growth. Think about it, like being fitter means that you can get more work in a short period of time, which means that you can get more sets in, more volume, potentially create a little bit more muscle growth. Running may build some of that glute or calf hypertrophy, particularly if we're looking at long runs. Calf hypertrophy is like definitely something that can be done. I've seen it in many athletes that their calves are sort of blown up from just the amount of running that we've done. Movement work can also sort of unlock tight areas to facilitate growth. More importantly than all of this now, though, you're going to be training like an athlete, which is really going to keep the gains, and I hate using this word, but functional, and help you be a better performing human and athlete on the pitch. How to structure this week is going to depend on your current state, your schedule, your own particular work-ons, and your availability of the things that you need, such as fields, gyms, etc. And like I said before, in the off-season, you have more room to play with this. Just be aware of two things. Number one, try to avoid scheduling two intense days back to back. And number two, ideally give yourself a full day of rest somewhere in that week. Most people like that being Sundays, but sometimes Sundays can be a convenient day to be like a nice long run. Maybe you have some touch rugby on Sundays. Maybe it's your only free day that you can really commit to being in the gym for a good session. So play with that as you will. Just have one full day of rest and don't schedule two really hard training days back to back. All right, I'm aware that I want to keep this podcast fairly short and sweet, so I'll cover off some other random factors that can absolutely have an impact that you should acknowledge. Firstly, sleep. Ensuring proper sleep is going to be one of the best things that you can do. It's completely unsexy, but it is one of the best things that you can do for your ability to gain muscle and lose fat by helping your hormones sort of level out and optimize for gaining muscle, manage hunger, and recover from the fatigue and stress of training. It doesn't win any awards for being sexy or for being something that people want to do, but it can win an award for being one of the most effective things, if not the most effective thing, out of the two things I've already discussed for gaining muscle and losing fat. Another strategy that we can look to employ is utilizing things like touch rugby, sevens rugby, whatever you might have available to you. If you would like to get more exposure to the game of rugby, more exposure to repeated sprints and such things. Potentially you could avoid this if you're someone that's got lots of experience that doesn't need more exposure, doesn't need loads more skills, is just looking to get in shape and wants to alleviate that fatigue. Avoiding it is probably a good idea. But if you're someone that could do with more rugby, touch, sevens, those things are good. Touch especially because you can manage your heart rate and get a good training effect as long as you're not like married to the outcome and you're not really viewing it as something, really important competition in its own right, just as a tool to potentially give you the physical benefits of, you know, more sprints, more exposure, more conditioning, and also the skills and the rugby exposure that it's going to give you that can help you. And obviously the fact that it's a set time gives you more reason or compels you more to go to those sessions. Supplementation is something that people want to know a lot about, but it's basically a non-factor in this. Protein, yes, it's going to help you to get enough food, but protein is a food. Creatine might help slightly, but they're not going to make a big difference if you're not on point with everything that I've already laid out. It's a multi-billion dollar industry for a reason. It's overhyped, but we seem to love it because the idea of taking the supplement is simply easier than everything that I've laid out that you need to consider so far. And then finally, you need to have a plan. You cannot go off plan if you don't have a plan. You need to have a plan and you need to stick to it. Even if it's the wrong one, you can adjust as you go, you know, after a few weeks. And with that being said, you also want to be as consistent as you can with that plan as possible. Don't make changes based off of emotions, which will be a factor when you're trying to make a change and you're trying to make a change with how you look. Base any potential changes that you do make off of data and sound reasoning, not FOMO. Of course, if you want my help, there are links in the description below for my coaching, for my rugby program, and for my 2-week blueprint to help guide you through this process. Now, I said finally for having a plan because that was the final point, but I want to say this. Believe in yourself. It is absolutely possible for you to make phenomenal changes and achieve a really good athletic physique. What that will look like is going to be very different for each person, but as you develop as an athlete, you'll notice huge improvement as a result on the pitch as well, which will result in your enjoyment of the game going up. And of course, having a good base for all of this stuff is going to be fantastic for your long-term health. And when you do make it to your goal, you're going to reaffirm to yourself that you're a person that takes action and achieves. Okay, I'll finish it there. I hope you found this useful. If you did, let me know in the comments and with a 5-star review or a thumbs up. Send this to a teammate that could do with it and subscribe if you haven't done so already. I'll see you in the... Where's the camera going? Next one.